This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to the Portuguese American Hour. I am Justice Neves, of course, with Dennis Borges.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Good, good. Welcome, everyone. Another exciting episode, episode number 7, I believe, of the Portuguese American Hour. And we have a lot of stuff to cover today, Justice. So I think we should head on to our very first guest. Shall we do that?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. And she is on the phone. She is the just recently elected president for the Fresno State Portuguese Club. It's a student club, and we have two advisors, Alcidia Gomes and myself. We co-advised this year, and it just had its first meeting. And Jasmine Hosch is her name. Jasmine, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Okay, well, welcome, and congratulations on being elected the second of the president for the Fresno State Portuguese Club. Congrats to you.
Thank you.
And let's talk a little bit about that. So the club was started almost a year ago, and Blake Garcia, who was the first president, was actually our guest here about 3 weeks ago. We just had the first meeting of this semester, and you were elected president. So how does it feel?
I'm very proud, and I'm willing to influence others and making a great year for everybody.
Let's talk a little bit. You were involved in the creation of the club last year, correct?
Yes.
And you were an officer as well last year?
Yes, I was our secretary.
Okay, so you've got a little bit of experience of the club. The club last year basically was just getting off its feet, and it's always hard for that. But tell us a little bit about some of the things that you did last year. I know that at the meeting, one of the recaps was, as far as a big thing, was the presence of over 300 students from five different high schools. How was that event to you? What was important for you to see that happen?
It was important because we got all of our community in the Central Valley all in one room, and we were able to share our culture and our traditions, and we were able to tell them what it's like to be a student at Fresno State as well as being a part of Portuguese Club. And we gave them a little tour, and we were able to enjoy lunch with them and watch them do their Portuguese folklore dancing as well.
And this is to be continued next year, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so talk a little bit about also some of the plans that you would like to see. I know you haven't had your officers meeting, the new officers other than yourself. There are a total of five officers. Do you have their names by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us who's what.
Our treasurer is Kaylin Coelho. Our secretary is Marissa Nunes. Our reporter is Brianna Nunes. And our vice president is Georgie Cotta.
I know. This is an all-woman league, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel a minority in this. I'm the only minority. I'm the only one male and the only one that's born in the Azores. I'm definitely a minority in this group. But I think you guys will do great. And tell us a little bit, what are some of the plans that you'd like to see? What are some of the things that you in your mind would like to see carry forth between now and when the year ends, which is the end of mid-May, actually starting after May 1st. Very few things can get done because people are thinking about graduation. So what are some of your plans, some of the things that you would like to see happen with the club between now and May?
I would like to recruit more members and emphasize that it is not only Portuguese people that are in our club, and being able to share our culture and traditions with these new members, and encouraging them to attend PBBI lectures so they can feel for our culture, and maybe taking them to like a festa and having them try Portuguese foods as well.
Great. And so I know that one of the things that is important in a student club is also a little bit of fundraising. Any plans? I know there was kind of a talk of maybe doing some kind of a bake sale. Is that something that you'd like to see go forth?
Yeah. I plan on doing maybe like a bake sale, or we can have like a raffle basket and just encourage donations and fundraising ideas in order to get our club started, so the fundings will continue for the next years to come.
Okay, let's, as we close our chat here, let's talk a little bit about now this coming Thursday. There is a lecture of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute, PBBI, as you mentioned, and it's, I'll talk about it at the end of the show today. Your presentation as an officer will be done at this event, correct?
Yes. I will be there.
Okay. And so the whole, hopefully a couple of the officers will be there and we introduce to the public. One last thing. So Jasmine, yourself, how long have you been at Fresno State? And tell us a little bit about what high school you were at before and some of your experiences with the Portuguese American culture.
This is my third year at Fresno State, and I am a liberal studies major. And in high school, I attended Tulare Union, and I was a part of the Portuguese class all 4 years, my last 2 years being involved in folklore dancing. And I have always grown up around Portuguese culture and traditions. Both my grandparents on both sides came from the Azores, so there's always going to festas and bullfights and just being very involved in the culture.
What are you hoping to do with your major? What would you like to do?
I would like to be a special education teacher in the elementary level.
Wow, fantastic. Good for you. And you hope to get done next couple of years or so?
Yes, I will graduate with my BE next December, and then in spring of next year, I will start my credentials.
Well, good luck to you, and good luck to you and the officers, your team, your all-ladies team, for this year's Portuguese Club at Fresno State, Fresno State Portuguese Club, FSPC, I think that would be the initials, right? FSPC, Fresno State Portuguese Club. So good luck to you, Jasmine. Thank you for taking the time from your busy student schedule to be with us and talk about, and hopefully you have a very, very successful year. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so that was Jasmine Rocha, a young lady who is on her third year, as she said, at Fresno State, and who is going to lead the next phase of the Fresno State Portuguese Club. It's a rather new club, as she mentioned. It was just established less than a year ago. And so you know how that goes. The first year is just basically building up and getting your word out there. Yeah. There's still lots to do.
Yeah. Testing the waters and stuff like that.
Correct. Correct. And so thank you again, Jasmine, and to all of those listening to us. Make sure that if you have a son or daughter, a cousin, a niece or nephew, a grandson, a granddaughter, an acquaintance, a neighbor, friend that's attending Fresno State, as Jasmine said, you don't have to be Portuguese to join the club. The club is open, obviously, to everyone who would like to learn a little bit more about the awareness of the Portuguese culture at Fresno State, some of the events that are going on, and also take part in learning a different culture. So if you are of a different culture, this is a great way, as you're a student, to one of the things that we're supposed to do as students, obviously, is to learn about different things, yeah. Right? You remember those days?
I do remember those days. They weren't too far back, and I remember going to a couple different club meetings and trying to broaden my horizons a little bit, so definitely worth checking out.
Okay, and again, thank you, Jasmine. And we, from here, will transition to our moment in Portuguese history, which is going to be a rather long moment, but it's a very towering figure in the Portuguese world.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And here is our moment in Portuguese history. As I said, it's going to be a rather long one, so do sit back and enjoy it. It is, it's not a time to take a bathroom break. No, no, no. and so it is, we're going to talk about Henry the Navigator, and some of you probably remember from elementary school when we learned about the different phases of exploration from Europe throughout the world. Henry the Navigator was learned by, I would think, the majority of students in North America, South America, in Europe, obviously, in Portugal, certainly. Prince of Portugal, also known as Infante Dom Henrique. Henry the Navigator, or the Portuguese Henrique o Navegador, and by a few other names. He was also known as the Duke of Viseu, Senhor, or Lord de Covilha. Was born on March 4th of 1394 in the area of Porto, Portugal, in northern Portugal. And he died in November 13th of 1460 in Vila do Infante, after his name, near Sagres in the southern part of Portugal. A Portuguese prince, noted for his patronage of voyages of the discovery among the Madeira Islands and along the western coast of Africa. The Navigator applied to him by the English, though seldom by the Portuguese writers. We don't really call him Henry the Navigator. We call him Infante do Henrique. Because he himself never navigated, so he never left Portugal. He was in charge of the explorations, and he was a very big influence, and he was without Henry, I don't know if we would have had the same outcome, but he himself was not a navigator. So in his early life, Henry was the third son of King John I and Lady Philippa of Lancaster, the daughter of John of Gaunt of England. Henry and his older brothers, the Prince Duarte, Edwards, and Pedro, were educated under the supervision of their parents. Henry emerged with pronounced tastes for lots of romance and lots of astrological literature, as well as with ambitions to take part in military campaigns and, if possible, win a kingdom for himself. The starting point of Henry's career was the capture of the Moroccan city of Ceuta in 1415. According to Henry's enthusiastic biographer, Gomes Yanes de Zurara, the three princesses persuaded their still vigorous father to undertake a campaign that would enable them to win the 90 spurs in genuine combat instead of in the mock warfare of a tournament like it was done in those days. King John consented and, with Ceuta in mind, began military preparations, meanwhile spreading rumors of another destination in order to lull the Moroccan city into a feeling of false security. Although a plague swept Portugal and claimed the queen as a victim, the army sailed in July of 1415. King John found Ceuta unprepared, and as he hoped, and its capture unexpectedly was easy. Though Zurara later claimed that the principal role in the victory for Henry, it would seem that he experienced soldier king actually directed the operation. So that Henry distinguished himself, however, is indicative by what has been pointed out and by his immediate appointment as the King's Lieutenant of Ceuta, which did not require his permanent residence there or confer civil authority or administrative responsibilities, but did oblige him to see that the city was very defended. But Henry is better known for, as I mentioned, the exploration. Funds appropriated from the Order of Christ largely financed the Atlantic voyages along the western coast of Africa that Henry began to promote in the mid-1420s. He sought opportunities to take part in the commerce of traditional West African products, especially slaves and gold, and to establish potentially profitable colonies of some other islands. The most successful of these would help, of course, him found the island of Madeira and Porto Santo. Henry's interest in geography was influenced by the travels of Prince Pedro, his older and perhaps more brilliant brother. In 1425, Pedro set out on a long tour of Europe on which he visited England, Flanders, Germany, Hungary, and many other areas as well. Also visited Italy, Aragon, and Castile. He also went into the Ottoman Empire and parts of Eastern Europe. Henry's older brother, Duarte, succeeded King John in 1413. During the 5 years of Duarte's reign, lack of success in the Canary Islands introduced induced Henry's captains to venture farther down the Atlantic coast in search of more opportunities. And tradition has claimed that the most important achievement was the rounding of Cape Bojador in 1434 by sailor Gillianus, who overcame a superstition that had previously deterred seamen from going that far. They believed that there were monsters, sea monsters, and at the end of the Cape of Africa, a Portuguese sailor was the first one to prove that there weren't indeed any sea monsters. So there was lots of things that continued, and I'm not going to, obviously spend a whole bunch of time on this, but Henry the Navigator founded a school of navigators where most of the well-known explorers of the times attended. He pooled together map makers and astrologists and different mathematicians, because this was a way, it was kind of a school of knowledge to get people to think a little bit further down from the horizon. In other words, how can we go into areas unknown with these not so traditional ways of navigating. And his legacy is known in Portugal, is known throughout the world. As I mentioned, in elementary school here in the States, we talk about Henry the Navigator, and his long-term importance thus has been as a very legendary figure of the early stages of European exploration and discovery, as well as an exemplar of Portuguese nationalism, one of our very true national and international heroes from Portugal. Our moment in history today, rather long, a little bit about Henry the Navigator, that just as if we were going to read the whole biography would take us another 15 or 20 minutes at least.
Oh yeah, at least. So those are a couple moments in Portuguese history. I do remember learning about Henry the Navigator.
Good.
It's funny to hear that he was not actually a navigator.
That's right, he wasn't.
That's the name that we all knew him as.
Yeah, we still know him because he was responsible for it, but there are even stories that he used to get seasick. I don't know how true those are, obviously. But that's our moment in Portuguese history. Henry the Navigator, a towering figure.
Yeah, very much. So we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we will have our Book of the Week.
Correct? Yes, and we will have the Book of the Week and the Poem of the Week, and go on to our second guest.
All right, sounds good. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. Again, I am Justice Neves here with Dennis Borges. If you are just tuning in, we had our interview earlier with the newly elected club president, Jasmine Rocha, at the Fresno State Portuguese Club. And as we're coming back now, we're going into our Book of the Week.
That's right. And our Book of the Week is also will be the leading segment for our Poem of the Week. And the Book of the Week is called My Californian Friends. It is a book of poetry. It's bilingual, so it is in both languages. Poems are usually something that one can publish in both languages because it's not like publishing a novel in both languages. That's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
The poems are by a good friend of mine, Vasco Pereira da Costa. He was a university professor, and then he was director of culture for the government of the Azores. And he was part of a literary movement that existed here in the Central Valley for quite a few years, for 12 years. It was a symposium called Filaments of the Atlantic Heritage that hopefully we can give life to it again now through Fresno State, PPBI. This literary event happened in Tulare and brought into Tulare different writers who have a connection with the Azores. And they would kind of also learn a little bit about the local Portuguese-American community. Vasco, this happened for 12 years, as I said. Vasco Pereira da Costa came to 10 of those 12 symposiums, so the great majority of them. And every time he would come, he would make notes, he would meet different people, and he wrote this book called My Californian Friends, where where he dedicated different poems to different aspects of the Portuguese-American presence in California. The book, the poems obviously were written in Portuguese, that is his native language, and then I translated it to English with a good friend of mine, Catherine Baker. And it was published by the Portuguese Heritage Publications of California. And amongst those is a poem called Artesia's Patron. And Artesia is a, Artesia, as we say in English, is a city in Southern California in the Los Angeles area that has a very, very large Portuguese-American population. And so Artesia's Patron is a poem dedicated to the festas. It just happens to be about Artesia, but I think it's very applicable to lots of other areas. Anyway, here is our poem of the week that comes from the book of the week, My Californian Friends, and the poem called Artesian's Patron. I know that times have changed, Queen Isabel, and that California is the land of plenty, of roses and oranges and sons of honey. Your prodigies of saints may not seem useful. But in the middle of this prodigality, there are people who suffer. People who suffer in the American way, some necessity. Suffering the poor man's hunger that the social sciences call socially excluded. Therefore, my liberal saintly queen, leave your altar and take the freeway. Visit the most hidden parts of LA. Leave Artesia in search of the sublime rose. And even if you don't find the king, transform the rose in the American way into hamburgers, hot dogs, enchiladas, and ice cream. Artesia's Patron is the name of the poem, the poet Vasco Pereira da Costa.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so take on the Portuguese festas with an American flair.
Yeah.
The hot dogs, the enchiladas, the ice cream, and burgers. Yeah. And that was our poem of the week and also our book of the week.
I did notice on the cover there that it looks like an eagle with the American flag as the kind of background.
Correct, correct.
And so all the poems are about California and
all the poems are about California. We'll be sharing quite a few of them with here on the Portuguese American Hour. All the poems are either about California people, Portuguese Americans who live in California, or also different aspects of California. It's a great poem. It's actually the last poem in the collection that's called a Native Ode to the Native Americans. And he has one called The Gods of Yosemite, dedicated to the couple times that he visited Yosemite, which is a wonderful poem. Not very much related, obviously, with the Portuguese-American world, but just related with all that is, you know, that involves Yosemite and all the myth around that area. And the ode to the Native Americans, the ode to the Indigenous Americans, is really a beautiful poem as well.
Very interesting. I might have to look into that one. So My Californian Friends, our book of the week, and then our containing our poem of the week.
And I think we were going to have our second guest, which has not showed up yet. So hopefully we can be right back with our recipe of the week and change up things a little bit until we get our second guest on the line, or else my guest is going to be Justice and I. I will be Justice's guest and he will be my guest. We can talk everything Portuguese here in the Portuguese American Hour. Stay with us.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Ellas, también las escuchas aquí.
¡Socorro!
Esta es la 1600 AM. ¡Arriba el norte!
Máquina 501.
¡Arriba el sur!
Soy el rey de los caminos, siempre vivo en carretera.
Todos los escuchas aquí, la 1600 AM.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And we are back with another segment of the Portuguese American Hour. We do have our guest on the line, Justice, and his name is Alcides Machado. Alcides is an artist, and we will have him hopefully in the very near future to talk about his music. I'd like to have him here live soon and play some of his music for our listeners. But today, Alcides, who is known in the Portuguese-American world just as Alcides, last name is Machado, but he is also the president, founding director and president of the Bom Samaritano Good Samaritan Foundation, a Portuguese foundation in the city of Hilmar that serves the entire state of California, especially the Central Valley. And we're happy to have him on the air here at the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. Alcides, happy to have you. Welcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to talk to you and to the audiences and to have the opportunity to inform everyone about what we are doing for the community.
Correct, and this is kind of a new venture for us, as you know. I've been doing Portuguese radio and television for a long time, but in Portuguese, this is my first venture into the English language, but about everything that's Portuguese in the Valley, and I think that gives us such a very different and wide audience. So let's talk a little bit about the foundation. You began this foundation a few years ago. Talk about how you began this foundation and what the purpose of the foundation is for folks who are of Portuguese background and others who may need the services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to congratulate you for this program and also the fact that you are part of a lot of organizations and foundations. And I don't know how you find the time, but, you know, like they say, God gave me 24 hours, the same 24 hours it gave you. So we all just have to learn how to use our time, you know, and you really use it very well. Anyways, the Good Samaritan Foundation, or Bom Samaritano, I started actually, it really started 7 years ago, if I want to put it that way, the 3rd of November 2012, when I went to treatment for alcohol abuse. And it was a 30-day treatment, and that's where I changed literally everything and every aspect of my personal being. It's just proof that it works. But there would be no time for me to explain everything, but that's where I decided that I wanted to open an organization to help the Portuguese community, or at least focus on the Portuguese community. We help anybody, but focus on the Portuguese community and help anyone that needs help with their addiction to drugs or alcohol and other addictions that are out there. So I actually had a counselor who was Portuguese descent. He only knew how to say the bad words in Portuguese. So, but he's a great guy who struggled with alcoholism throughout his life, and he actually was a computer exec and changed his life and became a counselor. Anyway, so he inspired me a lot. He made a difference in my life, and that's where I decided I wanted to become a counselor. So as soon as I got off of treatment, I started enrolling in classes, and I graduated from what used to be a Nirvana Institute, now it's ASCAP, and I graduated as a registered counselor and started doing my internship in Modesto. And then I decided to open this foundation to help the Portuguese community. That's what we've been doing. I mean, we've been struggling because we're not government funded. We do events to try to raise money to pay our rent and to pay for people to go to treatment because some people cannot afford to go to treatment. So we pay for them, pay their treatment. And we go beyond that because people have problems with immigration due to drug and alcohol use. People have issues, health issues, just a lot of lively things, everyday living issues that we end up helping them with because, especially immigration, we have a lady that comes here on Fridays that does a lot of the immigration paperwork, and we even have an attorney that helps us, volunteers to help because, we have some Portuguese who are deported to Portugal because of drug issues. And alcohol also. Right. But anyways, just to resume, I started this literally 7 years ago. We've been registered by the state of California as a nonprofit, a charitable organization since 2015. And we are here in Hail Mar. We have our weekly meetings on Tuesdays at 7. We have couples that come in. And we have... anybody that has an issue, even domestic violence or just domestic issues, they turn to us. We give them information. We help them. We translate for them if it's necessary. And we just like one stop for just about everything that somebody needs help with, especially if it originated from a drug and alcohol issue. We try the best we can. I mean, it does take a person to face the truth about themselves and willingness to change, willingness to accept the truth and change what is wrong and make it right. And most of the people that we help, we literally saved lives. We have saved lives. Most of them stay sober and clean, and they have interest in helping the other next person, you know. And that's the idea too. It doesn't stop here. We continue.
So the Bom Samaritano Foundation, as you mentioned, has its headquarters in Hail Mar, helps people all over the valley. Some of the events, how do you fundraise? Because you do have expenses, as you said, you have the rent and you have, you know, I'm sure you have lots of volunteers and that's wonderful. But how do you see this moving forward as far as getting funds from the community itself and other venues?
Well, we do two big events per year, dinner dances. You know, we normally have one in October, and another one around March, April, and that's what's been. I mean, that's the expenses of an everyday office. The building, of course, we rent the building, and we do like we've done in October. We did a barbecue ribs and chicken. It was really good. We had dance and everything. And we actually had the Carlos Vieira Foundation donating $2,500, which that can be used to pay for somebody's treatment. And then people that give things for auctioning and stuff like that. So, like I said, we're not government-funded. We are hoping to be government-funded. Mm-hmm. And I do understand that this is unique in the Portuguese community and the United States. Mm-hmm. I do not know of any other organization that's Portuguese that focuses on drug and alcohol abuse.
I don't either.
And believe me, I've searched. And because I tried to connect with other organizations because this is not, addiction is not a pretty word, you know. Addiction and domestic violence is not a pretty word in our in any community, but in our Portuguese community. But, I mean, I have to go where the problem is if I want to solve a problem. You know, it's not considered a very elite organization per se, but I find it elite in the fact that we do beautiful changes in people's lives, and it affects everybody in the family. And one issue that I have is I'll be very honest, it's hard to get support from other Portuguese organizations because, again, it's the taboo of addiction. People don't see addiction as a disease. Mm-hmm. People don't see... Mm-hmm. people feel less sorry for someone who's struggling with drugs or alcohol than, say, any other disease. With all due respect for other diseases that are out there, you know, we feel sorry for children who are sick, somebody who's battling cancer and all that, you know. And some people are like, how dare you compare? Well, you know, it all comes in different colors and shapes. Mm-hmm. And they don't see addiction as something to feel sorry for. Therefore, it's hard to get support from our Portuguese organizations and some Portuguese members. And the truth is what it is. We've knocked on, you know, a lot of doors, and a lot of doors have been, you know, close. Not literally, but yeah. Smacked in our face, you know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully,
that's been a struggle.
Yeah, hopefully this will change. Hopefully people will listen to you, and people who are Portuguese Americans of second, third, and fourth generation who understand a little bit more about this issue and these issues, not just one, these complex issues. And hopefully, and here at the Portuguese American Hour, we'd like to keep this conversation going with you. I mean, we do want you back as an artist because that's a phase of your life that's very important to you and also to the community itself. You're one of our treasures as far as the Portuguese American music is concerned, as far as creativity with Portuguese American music in California, and I do mean that. And so we want you back as an artist, but we also want to keep this conversation going. Hopefully, every few weeks we can chat about the Bom Samaritano Foundation, talk about your upcoming event when it gets close to March, and keep this conversation going because I think these are issues that we are not immune to. As you said, it affects all communities, including the Portuguese American community. So I'll see this. Thank you so much for the time that you've spent with us. I appreciate it. I know it's been a short few minutes. We have a little bit of a time constraint here, but hopefully within the next few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, we can touch base again and talk a little bit more about the Bom Samaritano Foundation. If people do want to give a donation, they can contact you, correct?
They can contact me. We are on Facebook. It's actually, you can look up Bom Samaritano, and you'll know that it's us. And then my phone number is there, and our email address. So, and it'll be great. I do appreciate you doing this because I can update you on other information. If people have a question that possibly I can answer, because believe me, these are very personal issues. These are very, very touching issues and touchy issues that people don't like to go there, but in order to, like I say, in order to solve a problem, we have to go where the problem is, you know. And I'll be glad to answer or at least try to answer, to the best of my knowledge, any question that anybody has that has to do with addiction and drugs, alcohol, which is a big problem, believe me, a big problem in our Portuguese community.
Okay, and indeed, and we also need to talk a little bit, and hopefully in the next few weeks we can have you back, and we'll talk a little bit about another issue that I know that you've been tackling with, and with the Bom Samaritano Foundation, which is homelessness in the Portuguese American community as well, which has which happens. Many people
definitely
think it doesn't, but
we
it does happen. And so we'll be talking about all these issues, and I appreciate it again. Appreciate you, and hopefully next time we'll talk about your role as an artist here presently, and we'll be in touch. Okay, thank you so much, Alcides.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That was Alcides Machado with the Bom Samaritano Foundation, something unique, but that's doing a lot of good work to help those. I mean, there are services obviously in the English language, but we have those who have issues with the language, those who have friends or family who still don't speak English well and feel much more comfortable in Portuguese. These issues can be resolved with the Bom Samaritano Foundation and Alcides Machado.
Yeah.
So it's a really good foundation to serve the community.
Definitely. I'm glad we can get some of that information out there. So that being said, we are going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we'll have our recipe of the week and song of the week, so stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Só o nosso amor não estava presente, fazendo da distância um lugar perto. Só o nosso amor não estava ausente, fazendo da distância um lugar perto. Foi bom inventarmos o caminho que nos trouxe até aqui a felicidade. Lugar onde ninguém chega sozinho, onde os sonhos se tornam realidade. Lugar onde ninguém chega sozinho, onde os sonhos se tornam realidade. O amanhã é amanhã um novo dia, onde te vejo sempre do meu lado. Por ti mudava o mundo e repetia a aventura que canto neste fado. Por ti mudava o mundo e repetia a aventura que canto neste fado.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. Once again, I am Justice Neves here with Dennis Borges. We are now on to our recipe of the week, which is Bolo da Sertan.
That's right, Bolo da Sertan. And it's actually not my recipe. I'm going to be giving it because a friend of mine didn't want to do this. She gave me the recipe but said, I don't want to be doing it, so I will be giving her recipe. Bolo da Sertan is an Azorean specialty, so it's basically from the Azores. I think other parts of Portugal do it as well. It's a flatbread. So it's made of the combination of corn and wheat flour. It's kind of a circular, flat circular cooking surface. So you need kind of a frying pan or mm-hmm. something of that nature. They used to use a traditional cooking surface that was made out of clay, but people usually don't have those any longer. So you can just use a nonstick frying pan. Bolo da Sertan is perfect for serving as a complement to many typical Azorean dishes, such as mackerel, which is a type of a small fish. We call it chicharros, or some of the traditional fried marinated pork, torresmos, that we have also, as well as many other stews. People use it a lot with different stews, you know, to accompany it. It can also be served on its own as a snack, and some people just like to have it with butter. So the ingredients for it makes two pieces, so two large pieces of the bolo de sertan, or this flatbread, is 2 cups of yellow or white corn flour. It can be yellow or it can be white. It's up to your preference, but it must be corn flour, 2 teaspoons of table salt, 1.5 cups of boiling water, the water must be boiling, and 1 cup of all-purpose flour, plus another 1/3 cup of water, not boiling. So the directions are, you place the corn flour, the salt into a large bowl and mix. You pour about 1/2 of the boiling water over the corn flour and you stir it very well. You add the remaining hot water as you continue to stir. And you set that aside for about 25 to 30 minutes, my friend told me. Then you mix all-purpose flour and the other 1/3 cup of water. And then you kind of beat the dough for a little bit for about 5 to 7 minutes or so, making sure that all the flour is incorporated. So you have to knead that in. The dough should be a little lumpy, you know, but soft at the same time and not very elastic. Let it rest for about 12 to 15 minutes. Divide the dough into 2 equal parts to form them into like a ball shape. You dust one ball with flour and the other gently flatten into a thickness of about 1/4 inch or so. And you make sure that the flattened dough is not larger than the pan itself that it's cooked in. You don't want that to happen to go over. Place the flattened dough carefully into the pan. You cook on a medium to low heat, so low to medium heat, for about 20 to 22 minutes until the bottom is golden brown. When it's golden, flip to the other side, and that should happen in about 20 minutes. Flip it to the other side. When done, place it in a serving platter with paper towels so it can dry. And then, you just repeat the process for the second piece of dough. Once done, place the second piece in the serving platter as well. You can serve it hot. Some people do like it cold. It's yummy, yummy, delicious. I have never tried this recipe, but now that my friend gave it to me, I'm a fan of flatbread. I'm a fan of boule de sertin. And it's also in some islands, they have a little bit different, but known as boule du Picou from the island of Picou in the Azores. But with this recipe, seems easy enough. I mean, hard work there, but easy enough to follow that I may try it and see how it turns out. Okay, so that's boule de sertin, our recipe of the week.
Perfect.
Sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I might even give that a shot.
Yeah, for people who like bread. Yes, yeah. There we go.
Pretty versatile.
That's right. And so we will go now to our song of the week and listen to that and talk a little bit about it in a little bit.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community. Listen Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Que a lua conta seus segredos ao luar. Leva na anca sua bilha cor de amora e duas tranças de cabelo a saltitar. Leva na anca sua bilha cor de amora e duas tranças de cabelo a saltitar. Amor é fogo, amor é lume, raiva ou ciúme desengana o coração. Amor é vento que chega ao cume e tem o perfume de um cravo de São João. Será que a sombra do...
The music is by, the voice is Katia Guerreiro. This is in the fado marcha kind of genre. The fado is the national song of Portugal, not the national song as in the national anthem, but the song that identifies the Portuguese character. Katia Guerreiro was born actually in Africa, lives in mainland Portugal, is a doctor, an MD, who decided to abandon medicine to sing. Has a lovely voice. I just love her voice. I met her at one time. She actually was raised in the Azores. Her parents were both professionals working in the Azores when she was a teenager. She sang in folklore groups. She sang in different venues, and now she is a recording artist, and I think she has a very, very unique and wonderful voice and one of my favorite fadistas of modern-day Portugal. So it's my pleasure to share her wonderful voice and her music with you again. Her name is Katia Guerreiro. You can see her music anywhere that, you know, on the new platforms. Mm-hmm. And this song is called Ai Maria Quinhas Vai à Fonte, which is a typical Portuguese kind of a popular fado march type of music. Okay? Sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. Let's listen to the rest of the fit if we can. Just a little bit more of Katia Guerreiro.
Amor é vento que chega ao cume e tem o perfume do cravo de São João.
Very beautiful voice. My goodness. I was not expecting to hear you say she was a doctor first.
Yes, she is. She's an MD. Abandoning MD to sing. Wonderful. But I think she still does some work, but very, very little. Yeah, she's dedicated herself to music, and she does have a wonderful, beautiful voice.
No, I think
she's not as well known as some of the other fadistas in Portugal. I don't know why, because I think her voice is just really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so we're coming to the end of our Portuguese American Hour, so we just are going to talk about a couple of real quick community news updates. So on the 15th, which is this coming Friday, November 15th, the Portuguese Education and Cultural Foundation of Central California in Turlock is having a dinner, giving out scholarships. More than 20 different scholarships will be given out. They will be also paying tributes to some Portuguese Americans who have distinguished themselves in various areas. The price is $45 per person. Tickets can be bought calling the foundation. That is coming this Friday, November 15th. It's really a worthy cause because they give literally thousands, I believe last year, over $25,000 in scholarships to high school students and college students. So high school students going to college and college students continuing with their undergrad or graduate degrees. And then As a reminder, we will have time to talk about it. The PBBI lecture, our next Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute lecture, will be December the 5th, which is a Thursday. It will be at PB 191, that is the Peters Business Auditorium, 191, next to parking lots 5 and 6. And we will have a poet by the name of Sam Pereira, who lives in the city of Los Banos, just west of Fresno here. Sam Pereira is just retired from teaching. And he actually studied at Fresno State under the great Philip Levine, the great poet Philip Levine. And he is an accomplished poet himself. Sam Pereira, we hope to have him here probably the week before his lecture to entice people to attend a lecture. The lectures are always at 6 o'clock and open to the public. That's our two events for this week, since there are other events going on throughout the Portuguese-American community, but we're just about out of time.
Yeah, just wrapping it up here. So, again, thank you for tuning in to another show.
Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for your help, Jessica. And there's Geraldo there on the controls. She's always the most awesome. If everything goes okay, it was me teaching Geraldo how to do this. No, I'm just kidding. It was her awesome coordination. So thank you all for another Portuguese American Hour. And thanks, Jessica, for co-hosting this with us as well, always. And do continue listening to us and do continue being part of this experience here on Multicultural 1600.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Tune in next week.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.